Turn back, if you would, to Psalm 25. Psalm chapter 25. The translators put headings on the top of our pages to summarize what's on that page. And above verses 6 and 7 on my page, it says, "A prayer for pardon and help." And that's the title of this message, "A Prayer for Pardon and Help." We're going to look at the first 7 verses. Verse 1 in Psalm 25 says, "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul." Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Even though I know that my soul is in your hands, I know that it is. Our Lord said in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, when the end of this life comes, and it's a man's last day, Ecclesiastes 12 verse 7 says, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was. From dust we came, and to dust we're going back. And the spirit," or the soul, "shall return unto God who gave it. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." God breathed life into man's nostrils, and man became a living soul. And in that last day, that soul was going back to God who gave it. "Even though I know my soul is in your hands, I lift up my soul unto thee." That's an awesome statement. I put my soul in your hands because it's absolutely no good in my hands. It's no good. I defile it. I ruin it. I drown it in sin and in filth. Lord, hold my soul. That's a deep request of every true believer. My soul is in your hands. Lord, keep it. Hold my soul. Hold on to my soul. Verse 2 says, "Oh my God, I trust in thee." I have to. It's the only trust that I have. It's all I have. I've proven to myself that I cannot trust in me. I let me down. I can't trust in me. I trust you. Lord, I trust you. Would you hold my soul? You're the only one I trust with my soul. Please, Lord, verse 2 says, "Let me not be ashamed, because what I've done with the soul that you gave me, I'm so ashamed." Can we not say that in honesty and sincerity? I'm so ashamed. So ashamed. "Let me not be ashamed. Lord, please hold my soul." Verse 2 says, "Let not mine enemies triumph over me." Now, I don't have anybody trying to kill me like David did. And I don't even know of anybody who's trying to do me harm. Really. But I do have enemies. My first and foremost enemy is my pride. my pride. I hate it. I hate it. Whether a person sees it or not, it's there, and I hate it. Don't we all? My inward arrogance is my enemy. My self-worth is my enemy. If we all get honest, we know it's there. We hate it, don't we? We hate it. My biggest enemies are right inside here. It's not out there. They're inside here. Lord, please let not mine enemies triumph over me. Don't let my pride get the best of me. Please. Lord, hold my soul. Let me look to Thee. Let me trust in Thee. Let me wait on Thee. Verse 3 says, yea, let none that wait on Thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Without cause. They just don't care. No regret. Lord, if you don't reach down your hand, that's me. That's me. Transgress without cause. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I acknowledge my transgressions. My sins are ever before me. Verse 4 says, show me Thy ways, O Lord. Show me Thy ways. Lord, would You show me how You would have me to be? Show me how You would have me to be. Show me Thy ways and teach me to do it. He says, teach me Thy paths. Lord, I know that actions speak louder than words. Show me how You would have me to be and teach me to do it. Teach me to do it. Verse 5 says, lead me in Thy truth. Lead me in Thy word. Lead me in the word of God. Lead me in the commandments of God. Lead me in the doctrine of God, the Christ of God. He said, I am the truth. Lead me in Thy truth and change me. That scripture says, lead me in Thy truth and teach me. Teach me. Change me. I don't want to be like me anymore. I really don't. I have not lived that long, but I'm already pretty tired of me. I'm just being honest. I don't want to be like me anymore. I want to be like my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's who I want to be like. Change me, Lord. I want to be conformed to His image. The things that I do, the things that I'm so ashamed of, that I do, I honestly wish I didn't do them. I really do. The things that I don't do, that I ought to be doing, but I don't do them. I wish I did. I wish I did. Change me. Lord, change me. Hold on to my soul. And until You redeem this body, until my body catches up to my soul, we're in a body of death. Lord, hold me. Hold me. Hold on to me. Keep me. Hold my soul. Verse 5 says, for Thou art the God of my salvation. You are my only hope. Thou art the God of my salvation. I only have one hope, Lord, and it's You. All of my eggs are in one basket. One basket. On Thee do I wait all the day. Lord, I wait on Thee to take away my shame. One of these days, He's going to take away my shame. I wait on Thee to triumph over my enemies. I wait on Thee to show me Thy ways. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. Lord, teach me. Change me. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15. I love this verse of Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And look at verse 49. As we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Not every person on this world is going to die physically. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound. I love the thought that one day, while we're going about our lives and going about our jobs and going about the things that we do, all of a sudden, trumpets are going to roar through the sky. And it's not going to be the kind of thing where it's like, did somebody hear trumpets? It's going to be loud. The trump shall sound. And I don't know if it's going to sound three times, or I don't know if it's going to sound seven times, but on the last blast of the trump, and the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And whoever's left on this earth is going to see it happen. I thought about this, Chris. I want to hear, I've thought about this for years. I want to hear those trumpets. I really do. That's something I love to hear. Jets fly over. As soon as I hear a fighter jet coming, I am looking. I want to hear those trumpets. And I thought, I hope I'm alive when the Lord comes back. I want to see all this. And then it hit me. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. And whoever's here is going to see this happen. The dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. When we become changed, no more sin. No more sin. And when we have no more sin, death has no more sting. This mortal shall put on immortality. That's an awesome thought to me. That is an awesome thought to me. Our text says, for thou art the God of my salvation. He's going to save me from this body of death. On thee do I wait. That's what we're doing here. We're waiting on the Lord. That's what we're doing here. We're waiting on the Lord. We stand up and we say, the Lord is coming back. He's going to change us. We're going to get rid of this sin. We're going to get rid of this body of death. We're going to be like our Lord. He's going to save us. On thee do I wait all the day. Now, back in our text, Psalm 25. David is going to ask the Lord for three things. And these three things are what every begging sinner needs from the Lord. A sinner needs three things. In order to trust in Him, in order to not be ashamed, and in order to be changed into His image, we need three things. This is every sinner's prayer for pardon and help. David asked, and we all ask, three remembers. Three remembers. The first one is in verse 6. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. I need that. Our concordance says tender mercy means compassion. Lord, would you remember thy compassion? Lord, would you remember that you will have compassion on whom you will have compassion? Please remember that, Lord. Lord, please remember that your compassions fail not. Please. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. The Lord's tender mercy is a holding back of something. Loving kindness is a giving of something. It's a grace. Grace is a gift. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. Lord, would you remember, please, would you remember to not give me what I deserve? That's what I need. I need you to please, Lord, not give me what I deserve. And please, Lord, would you remember to give me what I don't deserve? And that's Christ. I don't deserve Him. I don't deserve His blood. I've ruined the soul you gave me. I deserve death. I need compassion. I need you to please give me what I don't deserve. Would you remember what you purposed in your covenant before the foundation of the world? Verse 6 says, remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old, before the foundation of the world. The second remember in this prayer for pardon and help is in verse 7. He says, remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. Please. Lord, remember not the sins of my past. Don't remember the sins of my present. And please don't remember the sins that I'm going to commit in the future. Notice David did not say, forgive the sins of my youth. He didn't say forgive, although David asked for forgiveness all the time. Psalm 130 says, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee. I need forgiveness. But here he's asking the Lord to go even farther than that. Farther than that. He says, Lord, after you forgive my sin, would you forget it? Forget it. Would you forget that it ever even existed? Is that possible? Is that possible? Is that even possible with God? The God who knows all things. The God who knows the end from the beginning. The God who ordered all things. The God who knows all thoughts, even the intent of the heart. The God who knows the motive of everything. Is it even possible for God to forget something? Well, the Scripture says, with God, all things are possible. We, in our sin, we say to each other, I forgive you, but I will never forget it. What we mean by that is, I'm going to keep that memory close just in case I ever need to pull it back out and hang it over your head again. David said, I need my sin to be gone. Please, please, Lord, don't let it hang over my head ever again. Turn with me to Jeremiah 31. Listen to the word of the Lord our God in Jeremiah 31. This is so wonderful. Jeremiah 31, verse 31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. What he's saying is, I'm going to show them all my ways. All of them. I'm going to teach them all my paths. All of them. I'm going to lead all of them in my truth. And I'm going to teach them. And no man's going to stand up and say to his brother, Know the Lord. They're all going to know. He says, They shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will do two things. I will forgive their iniquity, and then I will remember their sin no more. I will forgive, and then I will forget. That's good news. It never happened. It never happened. Those sins that haunt us, they never happen. Not in the mind of God, not in the eyes of God. They never happen. In our text, Psalm 25, the third, remember, is in verse 7. According to thy mercy, remember thou me. For thy goodness' sake, O Lord, remember thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions, and remember me. Please remember me. I love that song that I sang this morning, Even Me, Even Me. While you're calling others, call me. Call me too, please. For thy goodness' sake. The Lord told Moses, I will make all my goodness pass before you. And that goodness was the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's saying, Lord, would you remember me for Christ's sake? Please, for Christ's sake. Now, when we hear the two words, remember me, there's one event that comes to my mind specifically. And I want us to look at it. And in this one event, let's see just how great the Lord's compassion is and His tender mercies, and His loving kindnesses are toward us. And let's see Him forget the sins of our youth and our transgressions. And let's watch Him remember us, okay? Turn with me to Luke 23. Luke chapter 23. I'm going to read most of this chapter, and then we'll close. We're almost finished. And we know this event well, and it's all our hope. Our hope is built on this one event right here. Luke chapter 23, verse 1 says, "And the whole multitude of them arose and led our Lord unto Pilate." There was a great multitude of people, a huge crowd of people who took our Lord and led Him to Pilate. And they began to accuse Him. This great crowd of people began to accuse Him, saying, "We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king." And Pilate asked him, saying, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And he answered him and said, "Thou sayest it." Then said Pilate to the chief priest and to the people, "I find no fault in this man." And they were the more fierce, saying, "He stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place." When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he'd heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned with him in many words, but our Lord answered him nothing. And the chief priest and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod with his men of war set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. And the same day, Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priest and the rulers and the people, said unto them, "You have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man touching those things whereof you accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him. For of necessity he must release one of them at the feast." And they cried out all at once, saying, "Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city, and for murder was cast into prison." Pilate therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to this great crowd of people. But they cried, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." And he said unto them the third time, "Why? What evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go." And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. This great crowd of people. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, blessed are the barren, in the wombs that never bear, in the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, if they do these things while life is here, what shall be done in the dry? And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This crowd of people who hated him, wanted him dead, as he was hanging on that cross, he said, Father, forgive them. You know what that was? That was tender mercy and loving kindness. That's what that was. Do you think they were? As our Lord hung on the tree and prayed to the Father on their behalf, Father, forgive them. Do you think they were forgiven? Quickly hold your place and turn to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, look at verse 12. When Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, you men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified His Son Jesus, whom you delivered up. You were that crowd of people. You were the ones who delivered Him up and denied Him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let Him go. 14 says, but you denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Verse 19 says, repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Chapter 4, verse 1 says, and as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon the apostles, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Out of that great crowd of people who grabbed the Lord, took Him to Pilate and said, I hate Him, God saved 5,000 of them. Chapter 4, verse 31 says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Chapter 5, verse 11 says, and great fear came upon all the church. That crowd of people who took our Lord to Pilate and hated Him and screamed, crucify Him, was the early church. That was the beginning of the New Testament church. Those were the people. Don't you love that? Isn't that just like our Lord? To save the worst of the worst, the chief of sinners, the vilest offenders, I'm saving you. You're my people. I'm your God. Mercy's come to you. That's unconditional. Now, very quickly, I'm very sorry I've run so long. Back to Luke 23, we're going to close. Luke 23, verse 34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. As he hung there, he watched the people holler, Crucify him! I hate him! You are not God. Hurling sin into his face. All the while he was hanging there, he knew, These are the people that I'm dying for. These are the sins that I'm dying for. As they hurled them into his face, they were stacking up on his shoulders. Everyone, he was watching them. That wasn't done in private. That was done out in the open. Oh, the shame. Stacking up on his shoulders. They had already been forgiven. He said, Father, forgive them. They were forgiven. Now he knew, I'm taking these sins to a place far away that they'll never be remembered again. Never again. Verse 39 says, One of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. Matthew's account says, Both of the thieves railed on him. As he listened to them holler out, he has two thieves on each side saying, You're not God. You are not God. If you're God, then save me. You get down and you save me if you're God. You are not God. And I believe that our Lord, in mercy, turned and looked at one of those thieves. And I believe the Word of God looked straight into his soul and pierced his heart. Pierced his soul without saying a word. He said, I am your God. And that thief realized, You are God. You are God. I'm a sinner. Look at me. Look at where I am. Look at what my sin has done to me. Look at where it's gotten me. This is it. I'm dead. I'm a sinner. I deserve this. I see God. I see God in the face of Jesus Christ. I see my hope of salvation in the fact that this man is dying on this cross. It says in verse 39, One of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Does not thou fear God? Seeing thou art in the same condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, you're my Lord, you're my God. I believe you are God manifest in the flesh. I believe you are going back up to your Father. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Lord, I'm dying. Today's it for me. I'm a sinner. I'm a dead man. And you're my only hope. My only hope is that you will take the soul that you put in my body back with you to God. And speak for me on my behalf. Lord, would you hold my soul? Hold my soul. Would you remember me? Verse 43, and Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today you are going to be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He said, Father, I'm going to do the work which thou hast given me to do. Would you hold my soul? Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Unto thee do I lift up my soul. That's an awesome thought to me. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God and he said, certainly, that's a righteous man. Three remembers every sinner needs. Remember your tender mercy and your loving kindness that's been ever of old. Please remember not the sins of my youth, or my transgressions. And Lord, remember me. When you come into your kingdom, please remember me. I pray the Lord would bless his word and bless that message. Let's stand together and be dismissed in prayer.